I want to encourage you to be here for the next 2 weeks because I'm going to talk about two people that have done great things for God and how easy it was for them to do it. Wasn't hard for them at all. And I'm going to share that because it's not hard for us to do great things for God either. Isn't that awesome? So it is Father's Day. So let me read something about fathers. And I can relate to this father in particular because the first child is always the longest in labor. And so Alicia was 26 hours in labor. And so I was prepared for Caleb. I'm thinking 10 hours at the most, you know. And Caleb decided that he was going to outlast his sister. So she was 26 hours, Caleb went 32. So here's this story about a young father to be was pacing back and forth, wringing his hands in the hospital corridor while his wife was in labor. He was tied up in knots and fear and anxiety and beads of perspiration dropping from his brow revealed the agony of his suffering. Finally, at 4 o'clock in the morning, a nurse popped out of a door and said, "Well, sir, you have a little girl." He dropped his hands, became limp, and said, "Oh, how I thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through the awful agony I've had to go through tonight." Had to be his first one. So, all right. And then one more. The world is always trying to change our definition of what a family is. And so I just want to share with you about the importance of a mom and dad who are married and how that transfers over into society. And here's a little thing. It says, children who live with their own married mother and father rarely live in any form of poverty. They are more likely to do better in school, graduate from high school, and attend college. They are consistently more healthy, physically and mentally, in all measures. They are less likely to get in trouble with the law, do drugs, be sexually active, etc. Whatever the measure of child well-being, kids from married homes do better. This has become one of the most reliable truisms of social science. And so it transcends all of societies, all cultures. And, I say this because I want us to know God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about when he created mom and dad and brought them together. Okay? And then one more story. There's an old story about a young boy who was asked to put together a complicated world map from a torn up newspaper. Much to his father's surprise, the boy completed the task in record time. When asked how he did it so quickly, the youngster replied, listen to this. "There was a picture of a family on the other side. I just put the family photo together and the rest of the world came together too." Isn't that awesome? There's some great wisdom there from him. All right, today's title for the message is Go Mad. Go Mad. And I'll explain that in just a minute. But I'm trying to get us to see the power that God has placed within us, how he's placed his spirit within us. And we don't have to live the life of ordinary people in this world. We don't have to live the life that everybody else is living. We can, as believers, live differently, think and see differently, speak and act differently. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. But thank God he allows us to have his thoughts now. He's given us his spirit, and he says that through the Holy Spirit, we can have his thoughts. He's given us his word so that through his word, we can have his thoughts. We can exchange our thoughts and how strange they are, how difficult they are, and how they hold us back. We can exchange them for his thoughts, which bring us into freedom. We don't have to live according to what our own minds understand or what this world says and how this world tries to bring understanding to us. According to Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So faith has its own understanding, and thank God we can live in it now. We don't have to live according to our own understanding. We don't have to live according to just what we see in the natural. We can live according to the understanding of faith. The bad thing is I don't understand all that either. I don't understand how it is to live by faith, except for when you do it, it's awesome. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God. Everybody say, I'm from God. Isn't that awesome? You are from God. You need to look in the mirror sometimes, and you need to point and say to yourself, I am from God. Hallelujah. That'll do you some good. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Say, I can do all things. Look, y'all didn't even say it like you meant it. Say it again. I can do all things. Now, that doesn't mean you can do all things, but it does mean that whatever you're called to, whatever comes your way, you can be victorious over it. Isn't that awesome? And then last week, we looked at Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, say, he dwells in me. All right, so now he's getting ready to talk about you. All right, listen. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and you said he does, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So you're coming into new life. Isn't that awesome? Woo! All because he's in us, because the Holy Spirit of God is in us, and we have the power to rise above and enter into the new life that God has for us. The bad thing is, it's not automatic. We have to cooperate with him. You know, our cars are mostly automatic. Hardly anybody drives a shift anymore. But you know what? If you never turn the key, if you never put gas in, you never put oil in, you never change the gear to drive, you're not going anywhere. You can be in the car all day long, but until you put it in gear, you're not going anywhere. Till you agree with drive, you're not going anywhere. And that's the way it is with faith and walking with God. It's not automatic for every believer. We have to learn to cooperate with God. We have to learn to walk with him. But as we do, we'll see great things happen. And then we looked at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And it says, and while staying with them, he, speaking of Jesus, he's with the disciples. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We read that last week, but here's the rest of the story. You ready? So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And so they're trying to understand the spiritual realm of what God is doing through Jesus Christ. And the resurrection has already taken place. The death and the cross have already taken place. Jesus has been around them. And so they're looking at this and they're saying, okay, now he's going to establish his kingdom. And so they're looking and trying to figure this out in their own understanding, in their natural minds. And so they're asking, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But, everybody say but. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Isn't that awesome? So he's letting them know, you know what? It's not about a kingdom now. But I want you to know, when you're going to receive power. And then when you receive power, something's going to happen to you. And here's what's going to happen to you when you receive my power from the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Isn't that awesome? So God has placed his Spirit in us. He's working in us. He's given us a power in us. Why? You know, it's not just so that you can go to heaven. It's so that you can be his witnesses wherever you are. Because he says in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And so there was an outpouring of the day of Pentecost. Why? Why did God send Jesus die on the cross for our sins, rise again by the power of the Holy Spirit, be received back in heaven, seated in the heavenly realms by the Holy Spirit? Why? So that God could pour out his Spirit upon us, upon those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, and we can have power to live the new life that God has for us. Now, down here, not when we get to heaven. That's fine. That's coming someday. And it's going to be perfect. But until we reach that, God says, you know what? I did all this so that you can live a powerful life of doing great things for me. Wow. You know, the church hasn't done us justice because they told us that this power is to save us and to keep us from going to hell. And that's it. That's all we knew. And then, thank God he started opening up our eyes and enlightening us. And then we realized that, okay, it's great that we're not going to hell, but what do we do down here until we get to heaven? And the answer is live like me, live like God. See like God, speak like God, act like God, think like God. And he's given us the power to be able to do that. Isn't that awesome? But that's only to those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We're the only ones who can receive the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, and we looked at it in the recent weeks, that the world can't receive his Spirit. It doesn't know him, but we know him. And so he's given us his Spirit so that we can go mad. And I'm not talking about go mad like the world, because the world has definitely gone mad. But that's not what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about when I say go mad. Go make a difference for God. God has placed his Spirit in us. He's given us new life. He wants us to walk in that new life so that we can go. And when we go mad. We go make a difference. You know, we talk about the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is to go. Well, how are we supposed to go? Go mad. Go make a difference. We heard this when our kids were younger. Must have been real young because one of them doesn't remember it. And as we heard it, we would say this to them as they would go out to school, as they would go to work, as they would go to college. We'd just tell them, love you, go mad. Go make a difference. Go make a difference for God. A good difference, a godly difference, a loving difference, a peaceful difference. Wouldn't that do us great? We taught them that God was in them, and because God was in them, that when wherever they went and whenever they went, they were to go make a difference for him, for good. We taught them since he was in them and they were going to go make a difference, that they could stand up for God. They had the power to be godly when ungodliness was all around them. Isn't that awesome? That they can make right decisions when everybody around them is making wrong decisions, but they had the power within them to make right decisions. That when the world was denying the power of self-control, they had the power to walk in self-control. Woo! Isn't that great? And we as believers, we have this intellectual knowledge that God lives in us, but if He's not making a difference in us, what good is the knowledge? If He's not transforming our lives, if He's not transforming who we are, if we're not thinking differently, if we're not seeing differently, if we're not speaking differently, then what good is it to know that He's in us? He's in us to make a difference. He's in us to make a difference now in our lives so that wherever we go, whenever we go, we can make a difference. We can go mad. We all have difficulties that we have to overcome. You know, and people have done assessments of our personality and our temperaments and everything else under the sun. And you know what you find out in all of them? You may find out who you are, but all of them have weaknesses too. They have strengths, but they also have weaknesses. So regardless of how you are made, how you think, you know, what your driving force is, we all have weaknesses and we all need to be transformed. We all have something to overcome. But you know what? God has placed His Spirit in us so that we have the power to overcome. We have the power to be transformed. Hallelujah. This is good news. I believe that the main reason that God placed His Spirit in us is for us to get over us. Because we're our biggest problem. We have fears that hinder us. We have mindsets that hinder us. We have insecurities that hinder us. And God says, you know what? I understand that that's how you are, but I want you to know something. I'm in you. I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. So you can be different. You can change. You don't have to live according to the ways of this world. You can be free. You don't have to be held back any longer. We can overcome the fears. We can overcome the strongholds that have become a part of our lives that we've had to build up so that we could be protected. But you know what? There's a time in Christ when the walls have to come down. And there's power in us to be able to bring those walls down. There's power in us to make a difference in our lives and for us to live differently so that we can go. And when we go mad. We go make a difference. Do you know that people of faith, people who understand that this power is in them, they see life differently? Yeah. People of faith see life differently. People of faith see things differently than the rest of the world, and we see it with victory in mind. How many times have you been told by the world that you can't? And then there's this little voice in you that says, oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. We see life with the ability to overcome because we're a people of faith and we trust God and we trust that He's with us, that He's in us, and we have the power to overcome whatever comes our way because greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. And because the Spirit of Christ who raised Him from the dead dwells in us, then because He's dwelling in us, we're going to encounter the new life that God has for us. Whoo, isn't that good? Hallelujah. We can be victorious. It may take time, but we're going to get there. Amen. You know, when you start thinking about this, doesn't happen overnight. You have to keep thinking this because the enemy is going to try and keep us from walking in all that God has for us. But we have to keep telling them, good try. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have an advantage, Jesus said, because the Holy Spirit is in us. And so we need to take advantage of the advantage that we have of the Holy Spirit in us. And we need to, with him, do great things. If you'll turn with me to Daniel chapter 11, please. Daniel chapter 11. When we live by faith and we agree with God and his word, we understand that his power is living in us, then we're going to see life differently, and we're not going to give in to just what we see before us. We're not going to let that decide how things are. We're going to rise above what we see in the natural. And when we do that, then God is going to have the freedom to do great things in us. And who doesn't want God to do great things in us? Why not? I just want to challenge you this morning. Why not be used by God to do great things in this world? Why not? Why does it have to be somebody else? Why can't it be you? His power is in us. Why not you be the one to love the person or the people that seem to be unlovable in the eyes of the world? Why can't we be the ones to rise up and love them anyways? We can, if we'll choose it. Why not us be the ones who have the most compassion for people? Because compassion lives inside of us. You see, when we allow God to transform us, then we'll transform others' lives. If you're in Daniel chapter 11, this, when I was growing up in the faith, this was one of the scriptures that became very prominent in my life. And for a time in the church's life, because you would hear it all the time. But here's how it reads in Daniel 11, starting in verse 32. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant. But, everybody say but. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. And if you go back and put this in context, you're finding out that there's a lot of things that were happening, a lot of evil that was taking place. The people of God were in captivity, in wickedness, surrounded by wickedness. But in the end, he says this, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. How many of us need to stand firm and take action with God in this world now? Now, this was read, we didn't have all the translations, that was the ESV translation. We didn't have all of those when I was young in the Lord. So let me read it to you out of the King James. All right? And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be strong and I want to do exploits. Doesn't that just sound great? What are you doing today? I'm going to go exploit today. But it gets better in just a minute. In other words, he's saying, you know what? We're going to do great things for God. Hallelujah. In the message, it reads like this. The king of the north will play up to those who betray the holy covenant, corrupting them even further with his seductive talk. But those who stay courageously loyal, isn't that awesome? You can look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning or even tonight before you go to bed, and you can say, you know what? I'm going to be courageously loyal today. God, I'm yours. I'm going to be courageously loyal to you today. And then this is what's going to happen tomorrow. But those who stay courageously loyal to their God will take a strong stand. So we had the King James that was primary, but New King James was there. So here's how this reads in the New King James. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong. Say, I'm strong. And carry out great exploits. I love that one. That's my favorite translation. Because I don't want to just exploit. I don't want to do a few exploits. I want to do great exploits for God. I want to do great things for him. Isn't that awesome? And God's saying, you know what? You can do it because I'm in you. And then Daniel 11:32 out of the Amplified. And such as violate the covenant, he shall pervert and seduce with flatteries. But the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong. Isn't that awesome? I like that one. Prove themselves strong. And shall stand firm and do exploits for God. Hallelujah. You see, that's why God's placed his spirit in us. Not so that you can just sit by, be miserable. If I can use the phrase, just be you. You know, if he wanted you to be you, he would have never saved you. He doesn't want you to just be you. He wants to be him in you. He wants to be great in you. He wants to do great things in you. So he placed himself in us. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Oh, God is so good. Little old you, God wants to do something great in. Whew. You know, we just think, well, it's just little old me. What can God do through me? Well, just give him a chance, will you? It's not about how little you are, how big you are, how wonderful you are. It's about him in you. And he wants to do great things in us. I love our children because they have a heart for the world. And you know what they think about the world? They think they're going to change the world. And when they tell us that, we just say, amen, go for it. We're behind you. And we don't know what it's all going to look like, but you know what? They're going to change the world. They're going to change wherever God sends them. And so, I'm sharing all this because I just want to stir up what's in you. Stir them up. Shake him up. Release your faith. Declare what God says about our lives. And then begin to do great things. Let God do great things through us. Go mad. Go make a difference with God in this world. Can I tell you something? You were made for this. You were made for God to do great things through you. You were made for this. Now look, if you don't want to do it, God will raise somebody else up that will. But why not you? Why not you? Why not let God do great things for you? Because that's why he made you. He created you so that you could love a world that's full of hate. That you could bring peace to a world that's full of chaos. That you could bring light to the darkness of this world. Rather than just give in to what the world says. Dare to believe that you can be an overcomer. And that you can do great things. Because greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And because the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. And if he dwells in us, then he's going to give life to our mortal bodies so that we can go and do great things for God. We can do great exploits. We can stand strong. We can stand firm. And we can do great things for God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for being our Father and being an incredible Father to us all. And Lord, I pray that you would bless all the fathers and grandfathers and everybody that is a godly man, Father. Bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, teach them to stand even stronger. Let us realize, not just for the fathers, but for everybody, that you're in us, and you're in us so that we can do great things with you in a world that needs to see you in us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, be blessed and go mad.